today for every blessing. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, for the Holy Spirit that's come to live in us. We thank you that you bless us coming in and going out. We thank you, Father, that blessing is upon every family in this place. Your blessings manifest. Your will be manifest in our lives, Lord. We want to do your will. We want to fulfill what you want us to do, Lord. We want your master plan for our lives. Help us today, Lord. We thank you for all the great word we've already heard. And we thank you for giving us utterance and hearing today. Bring forth the words that would minister life to all of us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I heard y'all were ready. I heard you were a great group. I believe it. You may be seated. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. This is so much fun, isn't it? To hear the word and get stirred up. I want to just talk to you today about some basic things. You know, it's not what you know that makes you victorious. Did you know that? Although it helps. You've got to know something to believe something. You have to know what the Bible says in order to have faith in it. But knowing is not receiving. You have to do it. You have to see it. You have to know it. You have to do it. And that's receiving. So we're just going to talk about a few basic things today. We're going to call this enjoying life. I don't know about you, but I like to enjoy life. Jesus came, the Amplified says, that we might have and enjoy life. So life, there's more to it. In Bible life, there's more to it than just breathing. We're supposed to enjoy it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There's still a few seats in here if people are looking for seats. Just if there's a seat next to you, raise up your hand and let everybody come in. So let's look at John 10. Let's just look at that scripture I just quoted and put it in our eyes. John 10:10 in the Amplified. The thief comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have and enjoy life. I came, Jesus said, that they may have and enjoy life. Jesus said he came so that Gloria could have and enjoy life. I take it that way. And so I expect to enjoy life. You know, I have a good time. I have a merry heart. I thank the Lord every day for a glad heart. Thank you, Lord. I believe I was born with a glad heart. I've always had a glad heart. Even before I knew the Lord, I wasn't sad and depressed. But, you know, you don't know what a glad heart is until you get born again. Then the joy of the Lord becomes your strength. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So Jesus came that we might have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. So not just a little life, but an overflowing, enjoying life. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. How many of you like that? Yeah. Glory to God. Now, Ken and I didn't have and enjoy life until we got born again. And until we found out what God says in His Word and we began to believe it and act on it. And we began to enjoy life. It's possible to be born again and not enjoy life in the earth. You know, you go to heaven when you die, but you're not going today. I don't think most of you are going today. And so all the days that we're in the earth, we want to have life and enjoy life. And there's just some few things here. I thought we'd just do a little checklist today of necessity things for having and enjoying life. And that means spirit, soul, and body. You should enjoy life, the whole man. Spirit, you are a spirit. That's the part of you that was born again when you made Jesus the Lord of your life. If you've never been born again, then you've never been changed. You're not a new creature. And that's the first step that you have to take, is to receive the Lord and Savior. Otherwise, you live this life out and die in death, ruled by darkness, not giving God any place in your life. And however much we're giving God place today in our lives, that's how much we're getting out of life. That's how much joy in life we have. It depends on how big a space we let God have in it. And, I remember how we were when we started out. We've grown. We've been walking in the Word. Well, we've been walking in the new birth for 40 years and in the Word for almost that long. And so I know what it's like to be before you ever find out about the Word. I know what it's like to be when you know a little bit, and I know what it's like when you know more. And more is better. And the more I know, the better it gets. Ken and I have never enjoyed life as much as we do right now. But we've been practicing for a long time. And the more you practice, the better you're supposed to get at it, right? So we're still practicing, hallelujah, and we're still growing. I've never been as turned on to the Word as I am right now. I mean, I love the Word of God. I look forward to being able to spend time in the Word every day. I love what it says. I like the revelation that comes to me. You know, you still just keep getting revelation and revelation and insight, and you keep seeing what all God's done for you, what He wants for you, and you keep growing. If we ever quit growing, we go backwards. I don't believe in our Christian walk we can just stay in one place. If you just try to hold your place, you end up going backwards. For us, we're called to go forward. All of us are called to go forward. Because you can't spend time in the Word and not go forward. That's where increase is. If you let it in your eyes, in your ears, you get it in your heart, where it talks to you, where it creates faith in you, that's increase. And I think it's so wonderful that we don't ever have to just reach a plateau and stop there. In fact, you know, I'm convinced that we will continue to grow throughout eternity. What a wonderful thought to think about. I'm going to just keep increasing in God all the years of my life, this side of the veil and the other side of the veil. You know, heaven's not a static place. I mean, it's a happening place. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I thought of something that was just totally carnal. I'm going to leave it there. It's something that Pastor Keith said yesterday. I was reminded of it last night when Ken was talking about 24 and Jack Bauer. Pastor Keith told me, he told me that Jack Bauer, he'd heard that Jack Bauer had gotten so popular that Superman was wearing Jack Bauer underwear. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, and he doesn't know if it's true or not, but he heard that. I thought last night when Ken was talking about that, I thought, he ought to tell that joke. That is so funny. If you don't know about 24, well, don't worry about it. But don't watch it on my account. But at any rate, those of you that do, you know Jack Bauer's a pretty tough guy. Okay, so aside from that, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. I came that they may have and enjoy life, and have it in abundance. So the first thing we have to do to enjoy life is to get born again. Now, we should have abundance in every area of our life. Spirit, which is our heart, the part of us that's dead until we get born again, the part of us that's resurrected when we make Jesus Christ the Lord of our lives. And then our soul, which is our mind, our will, and our emotions. That's where joy is. That's where we have the fruit of the Spirit comes up through our emotions. We should be full of joy. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Love is a fruit of the Spirit. Kindness, patience, those are fruit of the Spirit. Hallelujah. So we should have our soul renewed to the Word of God, to the things that have happened on the inside of us. Our soul contains our will, our emotions. So, you know, if we're not willing to be full of joy, there's no joy going to be flowing out of us, even though joy belongs to us. A lot of people are depressed these days and sad. You and I should never be depressed and sad, because we've got the joy of the Lord, all the fruit of the Spirit's in us if we're born again. But the first thing we have to do is to get born again. Now, those of you maybe, you know, somebody may drug you in here by the hair of the head today. They're just trying to help you. They're just wanting you to know what's available and wanting you to have joy. And if you're not happy, make a change. If you're not happy the way things are, then do things different. And so that means that it's time for you to make that change and to make Jesus the Lord of your life. None of these things, this abundant life, this joy in life, healing in life, peace in life, it's not anywhere but in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not in any other religion. You know, people these days want you to be big on all the religions. Religion is a killer. It's Jesus that's the one that gives life. And He's not in any other religion. I'm not politically correct. I don't aspire to be politically correct. I believe in one Lord and one God and one way. And His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I get so provoked at political correctness. Because if you're going to be politically correct, that means you've got to be mostly wrong. And that's not something we aspire to. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's the truth. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. If you like to be killed, stolen from, destroyed, keep living with the thief. But if you want to change, make a change. So I don't know exactly what I've got today except some major things that have to be handled. They have to be received. If you want God's best, you're going to have to do certain things. The first thing is you're going to have to give it up. Give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, just think about it. If you were happy, you wouldn't even probably be here today. You know, if you didn't know Jesus. Now, we're all happy. We're full of joy because we've been born again, filled with the Spirit. We found out some things that belong to us in the Word. We like it. We found out that this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. We found out how to walk by faith. So a lot of us have. Most of us are at least going in that direction. We found out that faith is the answer to every situation that comes, bad situation that comes to us in the world. We're overcomers. How many of you? Let's just take a little testimony here. How many of you have come up against a problem? I mean, just one problem. Let's just say one problem, one major problem in your life, and faith in the Word of God got you out of it. Let me see your hands. Now, would that many people lie at one time? No, no, no. See, it works. Faith works. The Word of God works. You say, well, I don't have faith. I don't know how to believe. Well, that's why we've got this. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if we don't have faith, we haven't been hearing the Word. And there's a lot of things that go under the description of the Word that aren't the Word. If it doesn't give life, it's not the Spirit of God. Jesus came that we have life and have it more abundantly. If it kills, if it steals, if it destroys, it's not from God. It's from the dark side. We've got authority over the dark side. We're supposed to resist the devil, and he flees from us. We're supposed to take authority in the name of Jesus and cast him out. When he comes knocking on your door of your finances or your body, you resist him and say, "You're not coming in here. You're not getting in my money. I'm a giver. I'm a tither. I'm blessed. You're not having any authority in my body. I've been delivered from sickness and disease." Jesus himself, he didn't send somebody else to do it. Himself took my sicknesses and carried my diseases. And I'm telling you, if you don't learn to guard your territory, you're going to always be in deep trouble. Because Satan is a thief. He's a killer. He's a destroyer. He doesn't have anything that belongs to him. All he can do is work through people that'll listen to him and let him have place in their lives. He's been kicked out. And he has to have somebody to work through. And he has to have somebody to... I mean, he doesn't have anything except he has it through some human being. He has no authority. He has no rights. And where we're concerned, we're in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're in the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. And so we have all authority and all power has been given unto us according to the Word of God in the name of Jesus. Now, the big key to walking in victory is realizing that if I do not make a choice will be made for me. If you've been around very long, you remember when you didn't have different long-distance servers. And they said to you finally, you had to choose a long-distance server, and they said, if you do not make a choice will be made for you. And that is a picture of this world and this earth as we live in it today. If you don't make a choice for the Lord Jesus Christ, there's already been a choice made for you, and it's not good. So that's why we have to make Jesus the Lord of our lives if we want in on the blessing of God. And then we have to conduct our lives knowing that it's my choice. Am I going to obey God? You know, God's got a plan for all of us, I believe. And I'm just finishing a book called The Master Plan, God's Master Plan. It's not my subject today, but it is, he's got a plan for you. And I look back, and in writing that book, I just reminisce quite a lot. And I look back at how good God's been to Ken and me. And how we ever even got together was a miracle. And then how we stayed together was another miracle. Lo, these 44 years now. And how God had a plan for us that we did not have a clue. I'm telling you, I was spiritually illiterate, ignorant. I did not know. I didn't even know about the new birth when I married Kenneth. Now, he did because he was raised in the Baptist church. And so he knew about the new birth. That's about as much as he knew, but he knew about that. And his mother, of course, when I married Ken, I married her. And she was a praying woman. And when we got married, she thought I was probably the worst thing that had ever happened to little Sonny. But actually, it's turned out pretty good. But she didn't know that for a while. I'm telling you, after we got prayed, then she just prayed all the more. I mean, here she's prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed for this boy of hers, and he's just not cooperated, and he's gone. Now he's gone off and married some girl in Arkansas. And she just prayed. She had to pray for me. You know, she had to pray for me. I was ruining her life. And so I got born again in 6 months from the time. See, I wasn't used. Ken was prayer hardened. She'd been praying for him all his life. Nobody had been praying for me, and I just zipped right in there on prayer. It was great. I mean, it was just great. I could have just gone on, you know, and never known God all my life. How, what a horrible, horrible thing. But Ken and I, we look back and we see how good God's been to us, and the things that he's taught us and trained us to do, and
how he's called us to do certain things that looked impossible, and we just took the next step.
You know, put your foot in the water, take the next step, and on you go. It's just one adventure after another. Well, here we are all these years later. You know, we're having an enjoying life. And we've been having an enjoying life for a long time, but life just gets better. I mean, throughout eternity, eternity will just keep increasing and being better and more wonderful and just so far out we couldn't possibly even think about how wonderful it is at this point. Why is that? Because God is good. He never changes. He's always going to be good. He's always going to want to do us good. Glory to God. Throughout eternity, we had Charles Capps at the church the last few days, the last night he talked about the rapture. I'm telling you, you just let that become a reality to you, that Jesus is coming to get us, and we're going to be caught up out of here, ever to live with the Lord. Adventure piled upon adventure. Blessing upon blessing throughout eternity. It's awesome. It is just awesome to think about. Well, we believe it's going to be soon. I hope so. But I'm going to be living out for God every day that I'm in the earth. I'm going to be hearing and obeying Him every day. And that's how you have and enjoy life. Life just gets better and better in the Lord. But the main thing is that got into all that to tell you was it's up to you. I mean, you do not have to do what God says. He has this marvelous plan for you, a wonderful life for you. He's got a calling that's magnificent. He's got blessings stored up for you, but you don't have to follow Him. You can ignore Him. You can go about your life. You can not spend time in the Word, not pray, and just live like normal people live. I think that would just be a terrible curse to live normal. Everybody knows we're not normal. We're not trying to be normal. We're just trying to follow God. Hallelujah. It's adventure. And so the more you give yourself to the things of the Lord, the more you're blessed, the more you enjoy life down here, the more you accomplish in the Lord, the happier your family is, the better your body feels. It's up to us how much of ourselves we give to the Lord. Because God wants us to live free, but we can't live free on our own. We can't even to be born again and the next thing you do is be filled with the Spirit. Even there, you can't quit there. You got to just keep marching forward. If you don't go forward, you go backward. Now, those two things, first of all, you put yourself into Jesus' hands. He's not like the devil. The devil's a deceiver. He'll come in and try to trick his way into your life. But Jesus, He just says, I'm here. Come to Me. And He lets you make the decision. He's not going to try to trick you into it. He just says, I'm here for you. I'll give you life. I'll make it where you can have and enjoy life. Life more abundantly. And so we receive Him. The devil will deceive you and try to trick you and try to keep control of your life, whether it belongs to him or not. But you know what? If you haven't made that decision, if you haven't made Jesus the Lord of your life, you're still under the devil's authority. There's only one way out of death, spiritual death, and that's to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. He paid the price for you, spirit, soul, and body, to be born over again, to have a healed body, to have peace in your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. And when you come into Him, when you make Him the Lord, then you can begin to grow, and the bad things in your life will begin to fall away. If you'll get under good teaching, it'll help you come a long way fast. I mean, you need to get connected to a good church and hear the word of the Lord and grow constantly. But then you still need your own time in the Word. You can't go just once a week on Sunday or even twice a week on Sunday and Wednesday night and expect to be strong enough to walk and in life and enjoy life. You can survive that way. But to have and enjoy life, you got to go after God. And you've got to go after Him
with your whole heart.
So you get born again. You make that choice. And then Ken and I never grew. We got born again. It was a few years before we received the Holy Spirit.
And well, it wasn't long until we received the Holy Spirit, but it was a few years before then we grew in the Word. You know, the Holy Spirit comes in to empower you. The greater one, the Scripture says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. We receive the Holy Spirit and we begin to grow, but not rapidly because we didn't have Word coming at us. We didn't know enough about the Word. So it was a few years before we found out how to take off with the Word of God. But we got born again. We were filled with the Spirit. We had a desire to go after God. We just were still ignorant. So until we found out what God said in the Word, we didn't grow too much, but we were able to take some steps forward in faith. We moved to Tulsa, as you know. I've heard told the story many times, and Ken started as a 30-year-old freshman at ORU. And when we got to Tulsa, we found Brother Hagin. Now, Ken's mother had listened to Brother Hagin before, but Ken and I had not until right about the time we moved to Tulsa. And then when we got up there that year, and some of you may have been, I'll just ask you in a minute, some of you may have been there the year we were there, and Brother Hagin had like seminars. He had I've forgotten how often he had 10-day seminars, but he had 4 or 5 10-day seminars at his place at Rhema on Utica Street. How many of you were in those old seminars, those first ones right there? I guess I've outlived everybody. There's not too many, but there's a few down there. And Billy was there. She were here. She'd hold up her hand. Billy Brim was a Baptist lady that had just freshly received the Holy Spirit. She was in that very first meeting like that Ken was in. I wasn't home. I was at home that day. I didn't go, but Ken was there. Billy was there. And, you know, Brother Hagin was, he had a, this was, would have been his Tulsa meeting. And Buddy Harrison told me that that place didn't seat over 150 people. And, you know, I never remember seeing people turned away or it overflowing. But back there in 68, all the people that would make an effort to come here, Kenneth Hagin, fit into that building. So it was, we started out small, but man, did it go worldwide. There's churches and people all over the world that walk by faith because Kenneth Hagin obeyed God. And so we found it early, and we found it, we knew when we heard the message of faith that that was the answer for us. We knew that was the answer. And what did we learn? Well, we learned about faith and we learned to take the Word of God literally and to feed upon the Word of God. And those two things are key elements in your life. If you do not feed upon the Word of God, you're not going to have great faith. You're going to have baby faith. You'll stay a baby. If you don't learn to feed yourself, you're going to stay a baby all your life. And somebody's going to have to put pablum into your mouth, into your spirit man. You'll have to be living on milk. If you don't grow up, we have to grow up. And how do we do it? We grow up by giving God attention and time and place. By getting in the Word and, mostly important, doing what it says. If you just read the Word, you know, I got to read a chapter a day. I got to read a chapter a day. Well, that's good. That's better than reading nothing a day. But the key is that you do what you read in that chapter. You got to do the Word of God. You have to hear it and do it if you want to grow up. And if you want things in your life to be right, and you want to win the battles that come against you. Satan's a thief. He's a killer. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he doesn't take a day off. And if you'll let him, he'll run over you. He'll impart his will into your life through your circumstances and your situations. And you may know friends that live in victory, and you think, well, you know, that's what I want to do. I want to live like that. I want to live like so-and-so, and I want to walk in victory. And I know that they're receiving But I just don't seem to be getting anywhere. Well, in the first place, it's a growing process. You don't get there overnight, but you start improving overnight. I mean, if you'll take hold of the Word like a dog takes hold of a bone, you'll start improving overnight. And you'll be getting victories and you'll be excited about it, and that'll stir you up to go for more. I'm stirred up myself. I want more. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So you have to give God place. You have to give Him time if you want to grow up. Most of you know that here, but there are people here perhaps that have been brought that have never made Jesus the Lord of their lives, that they've never received the Holy Spirit. Well, this is your choice. You're having a choice today. You're going to go for God and go on with Him, or are you going to stay like you are? If you don't make a decision, a choice will be made for you. If you don't choose, you're choosing backwards. If by not choosing, you're choosing status quo. By not choosing God, you're choosing, and to go on with God, you're choosing things the way they are, and very probably they'll get worse. But if you'll say, I'm going God's way, I'm going to live for God, I'm going to make Jesus the Lord of my life. Here's what I said that day. I didn't know anything about being born again. I said, Lord, take my life and do something with it. You know, I saw that scripture in a Bible Ken's mother had given him. We were living in a little house with no furniture, and we had a rented Broadway bed. It cost us $7.50 a month, as a matter of fact. Had a TV, black and white television that was broken. Had a picture on it this high, but it was about 19 inches wide, but the picture was only this tall. I had a lawn chair that my mother, it was before the days of all the white plastic chairs, but those web chairs, you know, I had one of those. Had a coffee table Ken's mother made in shop. Didn't have a refrigerator, stove. Had a coffee pot that you could cook potatoes in. So, it was a sad time. I was a newlywed. I didn't know anything about God to speak of, you know. I just didn't have any revelation at all. And so I picked up that Bible, and it said, Ken had sent it, his mother had sent it to Ken for his birthday. It said, Ken, precious, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. That was my first major scripture. And I thought, hey, this is sounding good. Things being added unto me. You know, poverty is a curse. Poverty is a problem. Now, we get a lot of slack for preaching on prosperity. Do you ever pick up a newspaper and see some kind of an expose on a preacher that doesn't have any money? No, you don't. You don't see that. Or a preacher that's not well known. No, you don't see that. It's important that we get delivered from poverty. I've been rich and I've been poor. Ken got a card one time that had two monkeys on the front of it. They were sitting there like this, you know. They said, I've been rich and I've been poor, and rich is better. I mean, it's no fun to be without. And it's not God's will. God is extravagant. I'm telling you, you're going to find out when you get to heaven how extravagant He really is. He's got some fine things up there. Drive the reporters crazy if they could see all that. But they may not get to see it unless they shape up. I hope they do. But you know, you got to get there to enjoy it. So, there I was in that place, and I said, Lord, take my life and do something with it. I could have kept going, and I could have not read that scripture. I could have not paid any attention to it. But you know, I just didn't think about not believing the Bible. I just never did know what was in the Bible. And there it was. And I thought, man, I need some things added to me now.
And so I started reading that Bible, and I'd never read at that time anything other than the King James. I never read it particularly much, but I didn't even have access to any other kind of translation. I looked over there, and I saw where God cared for the birds. And I thought, see, this is revelation. I got a big revelation that day. God cares about birds. And I thought, well, if God cares about birds, he must care about me. Isn't God good? He can just reach you on any level. Hallelujah. But once he reaches you, then you have to keep going forward. You know, whatever he's called you to do, you have to do. Answer the call. So we were born again. We got filled with the Spirit. We went up to Tulsa and we began to go to those seminars. They were 10-day seminars. And Brother Hagin was teaching basic things, things that were certainly advanced to us. But, you know, they're just common to what you need to know to walk in faith. But there just weren't very many. You know what? There was not even the term faith church. This is a faith church here. It's a great church. But in those days, there never had been that term at all. There wasn't a faith church. There wasn't a word church. That all came and developed after that time as the word of faith began to spread around the world. Isn't that amazing? Can you imagine that? I mean, those were the dark ages. People just didn't know. You got born again, and the Pentecostals, they got born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, but people didn't know what was going on there, and they didn't know what it meant to have the greater one live in you and be filled with the Spirit. It was just, they knew a lot more than we did, but we didn't, just nobody had the revelation of living on the Word of God and living by faith. Except Brother Hagin, he had been doing it quite a few years, and I'm sure there were others. He's just the one we learned from, but I haven't met many others that go back further than him. But there have always been faith people that believe God, you know, and are doing exploits. But just the way Kenneth Hagin taught it to us, where we could get a hold of it, it was really just taking off. He had been preaching in churches for years and years and years and years and years, but it seemed like people didn't get hold of it. But in that time, people began to get hold of the word of faith. And it began to change the whole destiny of people and the way people lived. It certainly changed our destiny. So I'm just saying some things that are necessary. You get born again. You get filled with the Spirit so that the teacher lives in you. Ken and I never did anything to speak of until we were filled with the Holy Spirit. God says he's offering you himself to come live in you. Now we receive him to come into us. We get born again. We receive him to come into us. And we read in 1 John that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. When we first receive the Holy Spirit and we begin to find out about the Word of God, I rested heavy on that scripture. The greater one lives in me. The greater one lives in me. I'd learned that from Kenneth Hagin. The greater one lives in me. The greater one lives in me. Whatever, you know, you come up against, you have the knowledge that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. But these things take hold in you as you act on them and as you do them and as you believe them and say them. And let them come into your life. The greater one. I didn't know a lot of word, but I knew that the greater one lived in me. Hallelujah. And he had put me over in Jesus' name. Isn't it wonderful to be able to grow in the Lord? That we don't just stay baby Christians all the days of our lives. So we made a commitment. We made Jesus the Lord of our lives. Let's look at Romans 5:17-21. We began to walk by faith, and that's what if you're new or if you're just haven't done, you may have been a Christian for years and years, but you've never taken off. You've never gone after the greater things that are in God. You've never learned to live by faith. Romans 5:17 says about faith and righteousness. We learned that we were the righteousness of God. We learned that when we got born again, there was nothing left of that old man except what we let the devil talk us into as far as listening to him and you know, letting a condemnation come upon you. When you get born again, you're a new man on the inside and the outside. You just don't know how to live sometimes on the outside for a while unless you get right in with a good church and grow fast. But you're changed. You're not the same person you were before you were born again. That man died. You could have been a killer, a thief, or whatever. You could have been a despicable character. But that's what the new birth's for, is despicable characters. We were all despicable without God. We were selfish and unholy and unrighteous. But God didn't leave us that way. We were changed. And so now, once you get born again, you can go through life. And as far as that old man that did those things, he died. And a new man took his place. And the Bible calls the new man a new creature, a new creation. E.W. Kenyon said, like a tree that's never been before. Boom, a big tree there. Just never been before, never did come up from a seed, but it was a new creation, full-grown big tree. Here's a new man, new creation. Glory to God. We start out a baby, but we grow up, but we're still a new creation. Amen. The old things have passed away, and all that is, all things have passed away, all things have passed away, and all things have become new. Now, you don't ever let the devil beat you over the head about something in your past. Not even yesterday, if you've repented of it. See, the devil hates this because this is he wants to have something to hold over our heads and to beat us down and to condemn us with it, because with him, it's all about control. He doesn't want to lose control of us. And so he doesn't want to lose that thing. You know what you did yesterday. You know what you said yesterday. You know this and that and the other that you did. And he'll hold that over us and make us weak and think, oh, I messed up again. I'm never going to get my life straight. I'm never going to get rid of that alcohol or whatever it is that you're being delivered of. Don't quit. Don't quit. Just keep going. If you make a mistake, you get right up, you receive forgiveness for it, and you keep going forward. Now, faith is vitally important in all of these areas of your life, in your financial life. I mean, without faith, you're just going to have to do the best you can do in the natural. Financially, without faith, without believing and acting on God's word, which is what faith is, you're just going to have to do the best you can do in your body and the best the doctors know how to do and the medicine, the best the medicine will do without faith. You just have to do the best you can do without faith. But if you're born again and you've got a Bible, there's no reason for you to be without faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. You decide yourself how strong your faith is by how much time you spend in the Word of God. Now, if you want strong faith, then you spend a lot of time in the Word of God. Because faith comes by hearing. It doesn't come any other way. You can't inherit it. You can't earn it. You don't know, we can't do anything to, okay, God, give me great faith. Give me great faith. He's given you great faith. It's right here. But you have to put your eyes and your ears on it, as Proverbs 4 says, and let it get down into the midst of your heart. And the Word itself manufactures faith. What a plan. Hallelujah. I can have great faith. You can have great faith. Just say, well, I'm not a preacher. I'm a
I'm a farmer, I'm a this, I'm a sales clerk, I'm a whatever. Well, you're going to need great faith, whatever you are. And you've got access to it. You know, you may turn into a preacher, I don't know. But if that's what God's planned for you, then that's what He'll have you, He'll bring you into it. But just to live in victory, we've got to have the Word of God. And we've got to let faith be manifest in our heart. What do I mean, let it be? Well, if you read the Word of God and you disqualify yourself, or you say, well, that won't happen for me. I tried that once and it didn't work. I prayed for healing one time and I didn't get healed. You're not taking it. You're not believing it. You're not letting it in your eyes, in your ears, in your heart. Down here, what gets down in here and abides in you is what gives you victory and faith. Hallelujah. But if you don't take it when you hear it, you can hear the best preacher in the world and not get one ounce of faith if you don't receive it. Say, I don't believe that. That won't work for me. I tried that. I knew somebody that tried that and they died. Well, everybody's going to die sometime. And you can't be responsible for what happens in other people's lives, but you are totally responsible for what happens in your life. It's your decision to take the Word of God, to ignore the Word of God, or to live on the Word of God. Glory to God. Amen. And to hold on to it. You can hold on to it. I mean, when you're first starting out, it's not all that easy, and it's not all that easy after you've been in it for a while. Because you have to stay with the program, and you have to keep putting that Word in there. Keep accepting it for yourself. This is me. God's talking about me here. He meets my needs liberally according to His riches and glory. The reason I get so happy reading the Word is I believe it. And it's just full of good things for my life. And so every morning I look forward to time in the Word. Well, Gloria, haven't you read it yet? I've read it and I've read it and I've read it, but I haven't read it yet. I get more all the time. There's so much in there. We will spend eternity learning about the Word of God. We'll spend eternity just endeavoring to fathom our Father. We'll be up there with Him and it'll be just so good and so big. It'll just take us a while to take it all in. There's no end to our growth. Hallelujah. You know how long eternity is? I don't know how long it is, but it never ends. Glory to God. And we're just beginning. We're already really walking in eternity. This is just our part, the part of eternity where we're here in a natural body. But when we leave, you're not going to be any different when you leave this body. You're going to be you. You'll be you, and you won't be any smarter when you leave this body. You'll probably learn quicker. Because you won't have so many things pulling against you. When you get to heaven, you'll learn quicker. But it's a real place. I mean, things are going on there. You grow there. You increase there. You have fun there. It's life as you've always wanted life to be. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, Charles Capp said the other day, he was showing us how I thought to myself when he was teaching that, I thought, I am glad that God didn't call me to teach that. I don't think I could keep all that stuff straight. But at any rate, he didn't call me, so I'm not going to attempt to do it today. But he was talking about how he was showing us scriptures to show us that when we are raptured, or when we're changed in the twinkling of an eye, he was showing us scriptures where we're going to stay here and preach for about 40 days like Jesus did. For 40 days like Jesus did. I got so excited thinking about that. Can you imagine that? Don't ask me to explain it to you. Go get his tapes. You'll like them. But at any rate, I believed it. He laid it out real clear and I believed it. I thought, man, here I am. If I'm alive when Jesus comes, and I'll just be going about doing, I could be in a service. I could be here at Faith Life Church in a meeting. I could be sitting out there listening to somebody in a meeting. I could be at home just doing what I do all the time, you know. And all of a sudden, I'm caught up out of here. Glory to God. Somebody said that word rapture means snatch. I don't know. But anyway, I like the sound of that. The great snatch. I'm changed. But he says we're going to be here ministering for about 40 days, appearing to many, you know, like in, he gave several instances that where that happened. Jesus, for instance, did that. And can you imagine what fun that would be to just go about in your glorified body preaching the gospel? Come up here to Branson, walk into one of these theaters. Here's a glorified body. You just preach the gospel. Go see all your relatives. Say, look, this is it. I've graduated. Hallelujah. Get with the program. Man, we will win more souls than ever before. I think that's a great idea. I'm so excited about it. It could happen anytime, you know. Glory. Hallelujah. I just get excited about the things of God. So, okay, a commitment. Romans 5:17, that's where I was going. I never got there. Where was I going to Romans 5:17? I'm never getting off my first point today, and it's time to go home. Romans 5:17, for because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one, Adam's trespass, much more surely those who receive God's overflowing grace, the free gift of righteousness, Amplified says, shall reign as kings in life through the one man, Jesus Christ the Messiah. We're to reign as kings in life. Life's not supposed to be reigning on us. We're R-A-I-N-I-N-G, but we're supposed to reign, R-E-N-I-G, what does it say? Reigning in life. I can't even spell it today. I'm busy. Reigning in life. Victory. Victory at every hand. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I don't think it's ever been easier to walk in victory than it is right now. Why? Because we're getting close to the time of the end. We're learning things. We're growing. We're stronger than we've ever been before. You're stronger. If you've been around the Word of God for any length of time and you're moving on, you can just sit and do nothing, all right? But if you're moving on, your faith, how many of you, you'd say you're stronger spiritually than you've ever been before? We got quite a group here today. Hallelujah. Amen. That's true. Well, for one thing, we keep growing. I mean, Ken and I have been in the ministry for 40 years. You've got to learn a few things in 40 years. We keep growing. We keep understanding. And besides that, the hour keeps getting later, and the closer we get to the time of the change of this world and when our bodies are going to be changed into the spiritual from the natural, it's just naturally going to get stronger and stronger the closer we get to the coming to the catching away of the church. And I don't believe we're far off. But one thing you know for sure, you think, you know, everybody that's turned on through church history has thought they were in the last generation. That's because they get caught up in God and it becomes such a reality to them. But one thing for sure is, this is your last generation. If it's not the last generation, it's your last generation and my last generation. And what we do down here determines our life in eternity. Glory to God. You want to get up there and stand before the Lord and you're already thinking, I'm going to get a medal of some kind here. And he calls up sister so-and-so and brother so-and-so and he keeps going and keeps going and you're thinking, what about me, Lord? What about me? Well, if you didn't accomplish what God called you to do, he's not going to be calling you up there to get your trophy or whatever it is you get, your crown or whatever. You've got a chance in this life, an opportunity, I should say, in this life to serve God in a way that it'll never exactly be the same again. See, right now we've got a choice. We've got a choice, and we can make a choice for God to be obedient, to walk with Him, to spend time with Him, to give Him place. If we don't give Him place in our lives, He won't have place in our lives, because He's not like the devil. He won't come in unless He's wanted, invited, and you're open for Him to come in. But we can make that choice, and we can do it. Hallelujah. And so we know that the time is short. We want to do all we can do. We want to stand before the Lord one day, and we want to hear Him say what? Well done, good and faithful servant. I think the worst nightmare would be to get up there and you're all ready to hear something good out of God, and He says, instead of saying well done, He says, well. No, that's not going to happen. We're going to say, we're going to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Amen. And so if you're not stirred up, stir yourself up. Don't wait for somebody to come along and stir you up, keep you stirred up. It's your job to keep yourself stirred up. It's your job to spend time in the Word and to receive the Word of God. And then you go to church and then you stir the people up around you. Hallelujah. You should not expect the pastor to do your spiritual living for you. You do want a pastor that's spiritual and a pastor that's turned on and a pastor that feeds you. But I'm telling you, you are too old to be spoon-fed forever. So we keep ourselves stirred up in between services, right? Glory to God. Hallelujah. We receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus said to the disciples, don't do anything until you receive the Holy Spirit. If you're born again but you've never received the Holy Spirit, I'll give you an opportunity to have that reception today. And you think, well, I don't know if I want to do that just yet or not. Do you understand we're talking about the Spirit of God? We're talking about God saying He'll come and live in you. And you're thinking about, well, I want to keep living like I am with no power and nobody in me, the greater one not in me, myself being the greater thing that's in my life? Or do I want to receive Him, the Holy Spirit, that's been sent to lead me into all the truth, teach you all the truth, that's been sent to empower you? Can you imagine how dumb it must look to heaven for anybody to turn down the Spirit of God? And then you wonder why you got problems. It's because you're a ding-a-ling. If you do not want to receive the Holy Spirit, you are seriously impaired. We are talking about God Himself wants to live in you. And you are saying, maybe next year. Now, how can God work with somebody like that? I mean, what can He do for you if you won't come on and take the next step? God does not force Himself on you in any way. He doesn't force healing on you. There are whole denominations that don't believe in healing. Do you think He's going to force it on them? No. I believe in healing. I believe in being filled with the Spirit. I believe in acting on the Word of God. I believe in believing the Bible. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So if you've never received the Holy Spirit, then that's something that you, if you're going to enjoy life, you're going to have God on the inside of you. If you're just going to keep Him out here on the outside, you're never going to have and enjoy the kind of life God has for you. You're not even going to be you can be a Bible Christian, but you can't be as strong a Bible Christian without the Holy Spirit as you can with the Holy Spirit. Why would God go to the effort to fill us with Himself if it weren't important? You shall receive the Holy Spirit. You shall receive power, the Bible says, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Don't do anything. Go to Jerusalem and wait there. Jesus said, until
you receive. Well, it's just important today that we receive the Holy Spirit. And so if you're turning that down, you're backing up. Say, well, I know so-and-so, and they act crazy. And they say they're... Well, I know people that aren't filled with the Holy Spirit that act crazy. So that is not... That just is not good enough. You don't have to hang with people that act crazy. But I think you're acting crazy if you turn him down. So don't do that anymore. If you want to go forward, you got to go forward. You have to make a choice and go forward. Otherwise, you're going to be powerless. You're going to keep going the same old road you've been going. If you want to change, make a change. Amen. So today, when we give the invitation and you've never received the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in tongues. Oh, that speaking in tongues. That's what it was I didn't want to do. Are you kidding me? That is a wonderful thing to do. I mean, you pray in the Spirit. You're praying beyond your intellect. And God knows we need to be beyond our intellect. You can pray further than you know in your head. You can pray the perfect will of God for your life when you speak in other tongues. Oh, my goodness. You don't want to turn that down. That is a good thing. Well, I know these people may act funny. I know people of all kinds that act funny. But you can't just stop your walk of God if it's in the Bible. You need to do it. You need to be receptive. See, that's doubt. That's so much doubt. It's unbelief that'll hold you back and say, well, you know, I don't know. I know so-and-so and I don't like the way they act. And well, even after you get filled with the Spirit, you can still be dumb. You can still act goofy. You can still make mistakes. How do you do that? By not listening to the one that's inside of you, talking to you, that's been sent to lead and guide you into all the truth. It's not God's fault. If we're experiencing a failure situation, God is not to blame. Isn't it funny how people would think, God did that to me? It couldn't be you, could it? Couldn't be you made a mistake or you messed up or... No, God did it. No. If we're in trouble, we did it ourselves with the help of the devil. And so, you're not going to go far without receiving the Holy Spirit to live in you. Now that's just the second thing. Then the third thing is you learn to put the Word of God first place. You get born again, filled with the Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit, the teacher's on the inside of you. He's given you revelation and understanding of the Word of God. You put that Word in front of your eyes and in your ears. Let it get down in your heart. Let the Spirit of God reveal things to you about the Word of God. And your faith will grow and increase. And the more you do that, the stronger you get in faith, the stronger your faith gets, and the more you can do in God, and the more you can achieve in God, and the more you walk out His will. The Holy Spirit is waiting. He's just waiting for you to receive Him. Then you put the Word first place. The Spirit of God begins to teach you the Word. What do I mean by put it first place? Well, that means you spend time in it, first of all. I know everybody's busy. Everybody's got more to do than they can do. But if you don't spend time in the Word of God on a consistent basis, you're not going to be a strong believer. And you're going to have trouble. You can have been born again, receive the Holy Spirit, but if you're not keeping that Word in front of your eyes, your faith's not going to be strong. And the Scripture says, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. What is faith? Faith is believing what's written here in the book. The Holy Spirit reveals it to you as you read it, as you put your eyes and your ears on it. And then you take hold of it. It creates faith in your heart as you receive it. You begin to do what faith does. Now, what does faith do? Faith believes it receives. You believe you receive when you pray. And the Scripture says that you have to say it. So here we put the Word first place. It's able to give us our inheritance, the Scripture says. It's able to build us up and give us our inheritance. We obey the Word of God. Look at Exodus. Look at Exodus 19:5. This is what God said to them. I want to read you, I'm reading you this because I want to read you what the Hebrew translation says about this. It's so great. This is a big scripture to the Hebrews. And it should be to the Christians. It says in Exodus 19:5, the Lord said, wait, where am I up here? Now therefore, let's look at 4. You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you out on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. You know, that really describes what God's done for most all of us. He bore us out of unbelief and doubt and fear and sickness and all kind of poverty and everything. He bore us out on eagle's wings and brought us unto himself. Now therefore, so he's brought them out now, and he's brought us out. If we're born again, he's brought us out. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar people unto me. That's the King James translation. Above all the people on the earth, for all the earth is mine. Now, I've got this written in my footnote down. I mean, I have this written on my Bible. This is the Humash translation of that verse, the Hebrew translation. It says, and now if you will hearken well to me and observe my covenant, you shall be to me the most beloved treasure of all peoples. What a scripture. You shall be to me the most beloved treasure of all scriptures. For mine is the entire world. Let me read again. And now, if you will hearken to me, what does that mean? You hear and do. I tell Ken he's got an advantage because he's got his name is right there. Hear Ken. Hear Ken. If you will hear Ken. Okay. And now, if you will hearken well to me and observe my covenant, you shall be, in other words, if you'll do what I say, you shall be to me the most beloved treasure of all peoples. For mine is the entire world. In other words, the whole world belongs to me. He was saying this to the Jewish people. He says it to us. Because we're born of God, we're His heritage, and now if you and I will hearken to the Lord and observe His covenant and do what He says. So what do? We hear and we do the Word. And that is where life abundantly comes from. That's where you have and enjoy life is from hearing and doing the Word. You shall be to me the most beloved treasure of all peoples. If you will begin to hear and obey God, you will be unto Him His most beloved treasure. Whatever tribe you come from today, because when we made Jesus Christ the Lord of our lives, we were born of God. Hallelujah. And if we will hear and do, we will be His most beloved treasure of all peoples. For mine, it says in that translation, for mine, God says, is the entire world. Isn't that what He told Abraham? He told Abraham he'd inherit the world. You can inherit God's best if you will hear and do what He says. I love that translation. You will be to me my most beloved treasure of all people. A born-again believer who obeys God and does what He says in the written Word and obeys what He says in his spirit man, the leading of the Lord, He is God's most beloved treasure. How do you think God treats His most beloved treasures? Glory. Wonderfully well. Hallelujah. It's our decision, isn't it? Now, you know, you can be born again and you can act on the Word to a certain degree and yet not do what God tells you to on the inside. Probably there are people in here that have been called to the ministry, and you were where we were at one time. We knew, Ken knew he was called, but he didn't know how to implement it. He was broke. He didn't, you know, he was in debt. He needed to keep working to pay his bills, you know, just one problem after another. He didn't know how to implement it. But we found out over the years that the way you implement the will of God, when you can't see how to do it in your mind, you don't know. Okay, Lord, I don't know. He felt like he should go to Tulsa, to ORU. He was 30 years old, in debt, broke, children. And he didn't know how to do it. And so he didn't do it for a long time. He couldn't see himself doing it. So when God gives you an assignment, don't try to look at that assignment in the light of what you can do under the present circumstances. God knows your present circumstances. He knows what you can do with what you have right now. He never intends to leave you in your present circumstances once you put your foot in the water. When did the Red Sea open up? When they thought about it? When He told them to? No, it opened up when they put their foot in the water. And whatever God's called you to do, it's been our experience over and over again, whether it was something like going in the ministry in the first place, or being on going into a television ministry with the same problem, no money, or whatever it was, when we put our foot in the water and we let faith rise up, we said, okay. Like television, I've told this story a lot, but you know, my stories are only stories I have. I haven't lived anybody else's life. So the Lord was dealing with Ken about going on television. Well, that's a great idea, Lord, but we don't have any equipment, we don't have any personnel, we don't have any money. You know, you're just blowing smoke. You're just wasting time when you tell God what you don't have. He already knows all that. He's already assessed the situation, and He knows what's going on. God is not so far removed from your life that He didn't notice you were broke. So here we are. We're in the ministry now. We're doing okay. We're making it. You know, we're making it. And now the Lord says, go on television. Well, we didn't have lots of money in the bank. We had... You know, we were going, we were making it, but we were not having money left over particularly. So where's that money going to come from? Well, you know, we learn these things as we go. And so we toyed with that idea, we thought about it, and we should go on television, we should go on television. Okay, here's something else to think about. Here's how the Lord will talk to you. You know, you'll just keep getting that on the inside. Go on television. Go on television. Go on television. Go on a diet. Lose 20 pounds. What does that mean when you keep hearing that on the inside? You need to lose 20 pounds. What does that mean? It means you need to lose 20 pounds. This is just the way the Lord deals with you. Why would He care? Because He wants you to be healthy. He doesn't want you to be 20 pounds overweight. Well, what does it mean when you keep hearing you need to go into the ministry? You're called to preach. You're called to preach. What does that mean? That means you're called to preach. And so now what you've got to do is put your foot in the water and go forward. If it's called to preach, you say, Lord, I believe You're calling me to preach. I receive that. I'm willing and obedient. Show me the next step. You can't take 5 or 6 steps at once usually. But you can usually take one step ahead. He'll show you the next step, and you begin to do that. Now, that's what happened with us in Tulsa. We finally took a step, and we moved forward,
And the Lord parted the waters for us. Was it easy? No, it was hard. It was very hard. Was it doable? Obviously, it was doable. Here we are today. We're in the ministry. We're preaching. We've been here for a long time. Hallelujah. So, when the Lord calls you to, if He's calling you to go in the ministry or whatever it is, diet, be sweet to your wife, you can do it. Whatever it is. Be good to your husband.
If you keep hearing,
I need to be sweeter to him. I know I'm being grouchy. I need to treat him better. What does that mean? That means you need to treat him better. So what do? Well, you just start being nicer to him. Blessing him. Loving on him. Saying good things about him. How did I get off in this? So you put your foot in the water. You say, like, here's what happened to us. We were in Denny's restaurant, and we put our foot in the water on television. We were driving. The kids were still little. We were driving back from Arkansas to Texas. We stopped to have breakfast. Ken and I were talking about television. And you know what? It just seemed all of a sudden like there's something just dropped in us over... We still had no money. All the problems excuses we had before were still there. But but while we talked about it that day, we said, well, why don't we just do it? Let's just do it. Let's just go on that diet. Let's just be nicer to our husband. Let's just do it. Let's just start on television. So we went home and we started the television ministry. Now, that has been a lot of years ago. A lot of years ago. And it was right. It was good. It was the Spirit of God telling us and leading us to do something to help people. Well, you know, it helped us. I mean, we grew. We've grown many, many times over what we were. We were just still a very small little ministry. We're still pretty small, but we're big compared to what we were then. Small ministry, you know. And we've preached around the world, and we sent the television and the tapes and the CDs and all around the world. And think about it, it would have been totally possible for us to never do that. If we'd have never agreed to step out in faith. Now that's what I equate to putting your foot in the water. You got to take the next step, and it's a faith step. You know, if it's very big at all, it's going to require faith. Whatever God's calling you to do is going to be big, and it's just going to take your faith. Hallelujah. What is it? I don't know what it is. What do you keep getting in your spirit? You should be praying in the Spirit every day, and you should be asking God for wisdom every day, and you should be listening every day. And what keeps prompting you and coming up in here, pay attention to it. If it's big, if it's something that you don't have a clue how to do, God knows that. Say, Lord, I hear that. I'm willing to do it. Show me what to do next. Show me the next step. Give me wisdom concerning this situation, and I'll act on it. Now, that's the way you learn to live. You got to have the Spirit of God on the inside of you to do a good job of that. You've got to be putting the Word of God first place in your life, spending time in the Word of God every day, and listening to God's Word in the written Word, being His beloved treasure and doing whatever you see, however the Word corrects you. And of course, we all know that our law is the law of love. And that covers a multitude of sins, so to speak. So we know we're always going to be walking in love. That's the big thing that believers do. That's our love law. Hallelujah. What is love? Well, love's not touchy, fretful, or resentful.
If you're touchy, fretful, or resentful, you're not walking in love. If you're not walking in love, you're not obeying God.
Love is not touchy, fretful, or resentful. The Amplified says, pays no attention to a suffered wrong. What does that mean? Does that mean you can't get your feelings hurt? No, you can get them hurt, but you can repent and just say, Lord, I bless those people. I just bless that. I refuse to let that get into me, Lord. I'm not going to hold that against anybody. I'm not going to hold those words against anybody. I'm forgiven. I pray for those. What does the Bible say? Pray for those that use and persecute you. What happens when you pray for those that use and persecute you? You go free. You don't have to think about it anymore. You don't have to let it keep you awake at night anymore. You don't have to let it eat on you. What happens when you forgive somebody? You go free. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus, for helping us to go free. Okay, so now we're born again. We're committed. We're filled with the Spirit. The Word of God is first place. We're God's treasure because we hear and obey the Word of God. Glory to God. Now look at Romans 5:17. I was going there sometime back and I went somewhere else. We're talking about walking by faith. That's the next thing that's coming up, is walking by faith. We put the Word first place. And then what happens when you take the Word in? What happens? Faith comes. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now you're born again. You're filled with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit's teaching you the Word of God. The Word is coming into your mind and into your spirit. And faith is coming. Glory to God. So now, we're walking by faith and not by sight. It is so much fun to walk by faith. Sometimes it's hard, but the outcome is so great. All things are possible to him that believeth. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And so, the scripture says in Romans 5:17, I'm going to read this. I'm determined to read this. I hope it's the right scripture. No, that's righteousness. That's good, though. Let's read it. I was looking for 10:17. For if one man's offense, death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. We're still talking about being victors and living as kings in the Word, with the Spirit, in faith. Romans 10:17 says, so then... If I had time, I'd go over and to Deuteronomy 10 that talks about the Word of God. Is it Deuteronomy 10? I have to think about that a minute. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now you're born again, you're filled with the Spirit, you're putting the Word first place in your life, and as you do that, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So you're building your faith. Faith is coming. Do you ever get to quit that? No, you don't ever want to quit reading the Word of God. You don't ever want to slow down on the Word of God, because your faith is always being nurtured and it's always growing. You can't even stay like status quo. Your faith won't even stay just as strong as it is right now, unless you keep feeding it the Word of God. We live by the Word of God. Every word, the Scripture says, we live by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And so we know where faith comes from. If we want faith, what do? We hear and we hear. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We hear the Word of God. If we want faith, that's where you get it. You hear it every day at home. You hear it in meetings. You congregate where the Word's being preached. Ken and I have always been hungry for the Word of faith. We're still hungry for Word. We still love to hear faith preached. We love to hear other people preach the Word of faith. Glory to God. And we keep ourselves stirred up that way. If you quit hearing, your faith's going to dwindle up. It's just going to shrink up. You know, I saw yesterday, this is the first time I ever used this as an example, but I guess I'll do it. I saw yesterday on television about bypass surgery. And it said, you know, that's where you get skinny, for one thing. Not bypass, your stomach bypass surgery. And so your stomach, they say, is about as big as a quart. Holds about a quart of stuff. But after you have this surgery, your stomach is about this big. Now, that's okay for your stomach. But you don't want your spirit to do that. We don't want to have a spirit bypass here. And so when you eat, they said your stomach gets about the size of a walnut. Yeah, somebody said, oh, that's what I thought. Oh. You know, I think that could be like the picture of what could be your normal spirit man be this big. And then if you don't get your word, you shrink up to about this size. There's no power in there. There's no strength in there. There's no faith in there. We don't want a faith bypass. And what happens when you get like that is that, say, if you drink alcohol, it bypasses your stomach. Zing, you're out of here quick. People get addicted. They say that it transfers addiction from the food addiction to other addictions. I gave that example of alcohol. A lot of people get addicted to alcohol, never have been addicted to it before. That's exactly on a side issue, I'd call that. But anyway, this picture of this little walnut being your stomach and this being your normal stomach, we want to keep our spirit man strong. We don't want him shrinking up. We want a He-Man in there. We want strength in there. We want power in there. So that instantly, the way alcohol would go from swallowing it into your system so fast because there's nothing to slow it down. We want the Word of God going in our heart. And at the moment we need faith and the moment we need power, it's there. It's just going like straight out of our mouth, through our heart, and against that situation. What does that mean? Well, that means we need to keep our faith strong. We need to stay built up in the Word of God. We don't take word vacations. When you go on a vacation, buddy, you better take your Bible and read it. You know what I was doing? An hour before the earthquake hit in Hawaii, I was on my balcony and I was quoting scriptures about being in the high tower, being safe in the high tower. I was out on the balcony doing that. And you know what? Where were we staying? We were staying in the Lihi Tower in Honolulu. And I was just going over my daily scriptures and the things that I pray every day for the protection of my family and for our protection. I was out there on that balcony praying for safety in my high tower. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I had safety in that high tower too. God is good. But you learn to live your life in the Spirit and after the Spirit. And you learn what makes your spiritual life tick, like these things that we're talking about here, putting the Word first place, keeping faith in your heart. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So keep that Word going in your eyes and in your ears if you want to keep strong faith. It's up to you. If you want to live like other people, well, you can. But you're not going to have strong faith. I love being a winner, and I love reigning in life. Hallelujah. And I like not letting life rain on me. I don't say we don't have problems. We have problems. We've had problems. But we stay on the Word of God, and God answers those things. And He strengthens our faith to come out in a time of trouble. Glory to God. And He'll do the same for you. He's no respecter of persons. So we're about out of time, but let's see. Faith comes by hearing. What else do we have here today? Those are the key things. to making your life worthwhile to start out with. I mean, to start out with, you get born again, you receive the Holy Spirit, you put the Word first place in your life, you spend time in it daily, and you do what it says. You don't just read it, okay, I'm going to read two chapters today. No, you read two chapters and you do two chapters. And you do all the other things that you know the Word already said. Every time you and I go and do things that we know is crosswise of the Word of God, we're just the same as saying, here's you an opportunity, devil. Come hit me. Hit me again. Hit me again. No, I don't want to be hit again. I've been hit again. All I want to be hit again. I want the devil way out there. And the blood of Jesus covering me and the faith of God coming out my mouth. And the Word of God living big in my heart. And I want to stay strong all the days of my life. And I want to live a long life. And a strong life. Glory to God. And I want to live to the glory of God. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. And I want to hear Him say one day, well done, good and faithful servant. That is my decision to make. I'm the only one that can make that decision. And I make that decision to hear and obey what God is telling me to do. Now stand up. I want to just pray and pray for you today. Father, in the name of Jesus, help us, Lord, to fulfill all we're called to do. Help us, Lord, to hear the promptings of the Spirit and the leading that you have for us right now at this time in our lives. Give it to us clearly, Lord. We ask you for wisdom. And direction. Every day we want wisdom and direction, Lord. And we'll hear you and we'll obey you. Thank you for enlightening us. Thank you for helping us, Lord. Thank you for teaching us. Thank you for revealing the Word to us. Thank you that the Spirit of God lives in us, Lord, and that we're born again and born of your Spirit. Thank you for being so good to us. Father, I pray for every person in here that's never been born again are filled with the Spirit. I'm asking you, Lord, right now to let them know that this is the time that you have ordained for them to come and to grow up in the Lord, in Jesus' name. Now, you may be seated for just a moment. Father, in the name of the Lord, we thank you. We believe, Father, for every person here that's not already born again, or every person maybe that's gotten away from you, and every person that's never received the Holy Spirit, we believe for them today to come and receive. And we ask you, Lord, right now to move on their hearts to do that. Glory to God. Thank you, guys. Musicians, you can come. Keith, come up and help me finish this up. And those of you now that have never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I want you to just step up right where you are. Step up. If you want a change, you're going to have to make a change. Come up right now and let's just pray. Let us pray with you. Glory to God. We love you. We're here for you. You never know, actually, when it might be your last chance. If you don't make a change now, you may be in such trouble you won't make a change later. Just come on. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The only way you can be sure not to make a mistake in God is to always be going forward in His Word and in His plan. If you've never received the Holy Spirit, those of you who've never been born again, never made Jesus the Lord of your life, keep coming. Yes. If you've never received the Holy Spirit, you've never received power, come on up here. Come on up here in Jesus' name. You need the Spirit of God in your life. Glory to God. Not another day. Don't go another day without power. The Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus, for the Spirit of God. We're just so grateful and thankful, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Let's all just worship the Lord. We worship you, Lord. We're so thankful for you, Lord. Thank you that you would come and live in me, Lord. What an honor, what a privilege that I have. Thank you, Jesus. Don't turn him down. Just come and receive. Be born again. Be filled with the Spirit. Get in position to move forward in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you. Keith, you want to take over and minister to the people?
Oh, glory to God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, the Lord is so good, so good, so good.
Hallelujah.
He's real.
He's real. He's powerful.
The new birth is real. The being filled with the Spirit is real. All you need to do right now is receive.
That's right.
And yield.
That's right. That's exactly.
Hallelujah. Everybody pray this out loud with me. Everybody either affirm or reaffirm your faith. This is what the Bible said in Romans 10. Say it out loud. Father God.
Father God.
I believe in you.
I believe in you.
I believe in your son Jesus.
I believe in your son Jesus.
That he died on the cross.
That he died on the cross.
Paid the full price.
Paid the full price.
For all my sins.
All my sins.
Every failure.
Every failure.
Every mistake.
Every mistake.
I've ever made.
I've ever made.
He paid for.
He paid for it.
And he's raised from the dead.
And he's raised from the dead.
Alive.
Alive.
King of kings.
King of kings.
Lord of lords.
Lord of lords.
Soon to come again.
Soon to come again.
Jesus.
Jesus.
You are my Lord.
You are my Lord.
You are my Savior.
You are my Savior.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
For accepting me.
For accepting me.
Forgiving me.
For forgiving me.
Washing me.
Washing.
Making me clean.
Making me clean.
As you help me.
As you help me.
I will follow you.
I will follow you.
And serve you. All my days.
All my days.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Now lift up your hand and thank him for that.
Thank you.
Oh Lord, we bless you. We praise you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Praise you. Praise you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Now that's not all. Some of you came to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And once you are born again, you are a candidate. You are qualified to be filled to overflowing.
Amen.
The same Spirit you're born again of.
Thank you, Jesus.
And it's so easy. It's easy. All you got to do is believe you receive. And he is so faithful. He said he would give the Holy Spirit to those that ask him.
Yes, Lord.
And we're going to pray over you right now. Is that okay? Are you ready? We're going to pray over you right now.
Thank you, Lord.
And I'm going to lead you in a prayer. When I do, the Holy Spirit's going to come on
yes.
you. You say, you think so? No, I know so. Done it many, many, many times and have seen him do it again and again and again. And when he does, all you need to do is believe you receive him and then yield.
Thank you, Father. That's
now, right. The Bible said they were filled with the Spirit and they began to speak with other tongues. Now, he's not going to make you do that. You have to speak. You must say, what do I say? You won't know what you say. It doesn't come out of your head. You say it by faith. But you got to use your tongue and your lips and your vocal cords, just like when you're speaking English or your known language. Only don't speak out of your head by faith. Just begin to speak and begin to express your heart. Speak, and the Spirit of God will enable you. Are you ready?
Yes.
Don't think. Just speak.
Yeah.
Everybody said out loud, Father God.
Thank you
for making me a child of yours.
Making me a child of yours.
You said in your holy word, that if I would ask you, for the Holy Spirit,
you would give him to me.
You would fill me with your precious Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
I'm asking. Fill me
to overflowing
with your Holy Spirit.
With your Holy Spirit.
I believe that I receive
His fullness.
His power. The anointing. Give me utterance in a new tongue. By faith I speak. Koflemante Oshtum vocale pleci. Ivan de Bandio Locosta. Speak right out boldly. Everybody in the congregation. That's right. Be bold. That's right. Don't think. Don't look around. Speak right out. Be bold. Ovle monde gomble ascate. Avele bolo. Avele do. Ova mamma la son de cove la mandi o levaro. O levaro. O levaro. 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 Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Look at me if you would. I saw a number of you speaking pretty good. Some of you is a little bit slow getting started, but that's all right. It's a matter of learning to yield. And the more you do, better it gets. We got a place we'd like for you to go just a few steps around the corner here right now. There are people here trained to touch base with you. And if you got questions about what's going on, help you yield some more. The Copelands have things they want to put in your hand. Won't take long. So important. Would you turn here to your right? Everybody look to your right. See these folks? Would you go with them right now?
Glory to God.
Yes. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Praise.
Oh, hallelujah.
Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God.